Father God, we just thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. And we thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here tonight. We thank you, Father, that you have a plan and purpose for their life, and we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father God, we thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we'll thank you that most of all, that we'll take forth the word that we hear and we'll go out and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation, revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability, you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us boldness to speak the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for that anointing that's here, that anointing that saturates us, that anointing that changes us in an instant. We thank you that is here and present, Father. Father God, we thank you for everything you are doing, both here and around the world, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Like I said, it's been a few weeks since I've been here. Had some things going on, and but just to FYI, it'll be a few weeks before I get back. I'm coming up on this Wednesday. I'm going to be headed to Athens, Greece, and I'm going to be doing the graduation for Rhema Bible Training College, Greece, and we'll be there, and then we're going to preach at the church there, and then we'll be going to Albania and doing three different healing rally meetings there, and also promoting Rhema Bible Training College, Albania, and then from there I'll be going to Croatia, and we're going to be preaching at a church there, and we're working on, hopefully, for the next year or so, we're going to have a school in Croatia as well. So it's exciting to go around the world to preach and teach the gospel. And I'll be giving you a testimony once we get back to all the things that God's doing. Amen. It's been a busy time, but praise God, God is good. Amen. Amen. So I'll basically be gone next week all the way to Thanksgiving. I come home right before Thanksgiving. So it's, you know, it's good. I mean, I do enjoy traveling. It's especially traveling all around the world. That's one of my favorite things to do is to go out and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. And it's great to go to places, you know, like Albania and also Croatia and stuff, you know, places that were formerly, you know, communist, you know, and just, you know, like I said, when I was there in Albania last time, some of the pastors say, well, we're not just first-generation pastors. We're first-generation Christians. I mean, you know, our parents weren't Christians. We don't, you know, we're just learning them, you know, what it is to be a Christian. And it's just a wonderful time. And, you know, I'm just really excited about going to Croatia. I've never been to Croatia. Actually, I never thought I would ever go to Croatia. I mean, you know, it's one of these things, like, never thought I'd ever go to Albania. I'm just going to my second time, you know. I mean, I figured I would go to Greece sometimes, but, you know, but I mean, you know, some of these countries, in fact, we almost be able to go, I just have enough time, we're going to go to Serbia as well, but because we're working there, maybe the start of school, and so we'll probably get that next time. So it's just an exciting time, amen. God's doing great things all around the world, amen. I'm going to speak to you tonight on same thing I spoke this morning. During this term of at school at Rhema Bible Training College, I actually teach a class, and in this class we talk about God's love, and I know we share about God's love, you know, once or twice a year, but I just want to, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Sometimes we need to be reminded about what God's love is. In this morning, actually, a lot of the thoughts for this took place yesterday. We had a wonderful men's conference, and we always close out the men's conference. We take communion, and Dad was talking about, you know, communion, and really, you know, taking communion is really, it's a memorial unto Jesus, you know, about Jesus's life, death, you know, burial, and resurrection. I mean, that's really what communion service, you know, is. And I begin to think, you know, it's great that we honor Jesus during our communion time, but, you know, we should honor him every day. And you know, and one thing that ways we should honor him is to live like Jesus. And I want to go back to John 3:16, reading from the New King James. And you know, we kind of see one of Jesus' purpose on the earth. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now Jesus came to this world to show forth God's love. All right. "For God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus." And, you know, and so Jesus came to give an example about how much God loves the world. And, you know, and from his time on the earth, you know, a song kind of came up that most of you probably sang in children's church or whatever. "Jesus loves the little children." Anyone ever sing that song? You understand, Jesus didn't just love the little children. He loved everybody. And he still loves everybody. And, you know, Jesus said when he was on the earth, he said, you know, "If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father." And everything he did was an example of how much God loves everyone. But you know, the biggest thing that I like to take about this is that God so loved the world. I mean, you know, and like I said, when we think of someone that's a worldly person, we think of someone that's not a Christian. And the point is, we have to understand that Jesus loves the unchristian person. All right? And the way Jesus continues to love the people who are not Christian is for us to continue to love the people who are not Christian. Because sometimes, as the church has got a hold of the message, we almost think that Jesus came only for the Christians. But Jesus actually came for the world. And a lot of times it seems in today's society, you know, whether we mean to or whether we don't mean to, a lot of times we shun the world and praise other Christians. A lot of times, you know, and sometimes we don't think we're being rude, but sometimes we really are. Because, see, you're looking at the way you say something, you're not looking from their perspective. You know, there are a lot of people who are, you know, maybe they're not living right, maybe they're not doing right, but, you know, basically, you know, the Bible here, Jesus, you know, tells us, that, you know, why he came, because it's him, he's the one doing the talking here, but he says, you know, "The people who do not accept me, they're condemned already." So for us to kind of condemn them is really rubbing it in. And I found that when you rub it in, you're not going to reach anybody. And, you know, I know a lot of people, their idea of street witnessing is telling people they're all going to hell. Now, what you might be saying might be correct, all right? But the way you know, whenever we talk, we need to speak in love. See, Jesus always spoke in love. It was always about love. And the interesting part about it, I know one of our speakers, Mike Caminetti, was talking about this. And actually, this was, you know, he said that that the only people that Jesus really had a problem with were religious people. He had never had a problem with the sinners. The sinners all came to him. They all hung out with him. They wanted to be around him. You know, which that's pretty interesting, because most of the time, most people who are sinners, they don't want to go hang around the pastor of the church. Why? Because, you know, the pastor, you know, they're thinking they're going to get condemned. You know, and but here's, you know, I know people I've talked to, and you know, I'm not no one in Oklahoma City, so I don't want anyone here to feel bad, okay? But I know some people I've talked to in Tulsa, you know, they used to come to church, and, you know, I mean, I'm going to be honest, with, they probably aren't living the life the way they should. But, you know, interesting part about it is they don't have a problem talking to me. They understand that I'm not going to be judgmental toward them. And the reason they said they don't come to church is not because of me or because of my parents or any of the other pastors. The reason they don't come to church right now is because they believe some of the people who are in the church are not very friendly. And even when they're trying to make some changes, those people keep pushing them down or whatever. You know, and a lot of times we as Christians say, "Well, yeah, we want the world to come in. You know, we want to be a light to the world." But when the world starts coming in, we're like, "I can't believe that person wore that to church." You know, and it's probably worse among the females than it is among the males, because most guys, they're oblivious to what anybody wears to church. I mean, you know, I mean, they're just happy they actually, you know, have socks that match. You know, one time I almost came to church with shoes that didn't match. I mean, it's bad enough. I've come to church a couple times with socks that don't match. I mean, I've, you know, crossed my leg. I'm like, man, that sock's blue. Other sock's black. You know, I don't know what it is, but it just seems for whatever reason, I don't know if it's, I'm lazy or whatever. I have three different lights in my closet. And a lot of times when one of the lights go out, you know, I can live with the other two, and then it pops down to one light, you know, but I'm okay. I mean, it's enough light, but sometimes one light's not enough to really be able, you know, to see. I wait till the one light, till all three lights burn out, and then I change all three lights, and I'm like, man, my closet's so bright now. But the problem is when I'm down to one light, sometimes you can't see as much. And I think it's one reason that I mainly just wear black shoes. When I wear dress shoes, mainly all black, because one day I had a pair of navy shoes and a pair of black shoes, and I almost had, you know, and they were real similar styles, and I almost wore one of one and one of the other. You know, maybe because I'm, a lot of times when I go in my closet, I kick my shoes off and don't put them together like, you know, I probably should. You know, so I'm over here searching for one shoe, searching for, and I had them on. I was looking at, you know, myself in the mirror, and I was fixing to walk out the door when I realized my mistake. All right. So I don't have, it has anything to do with love, but I'm just, you know, saying a lot of times, you know, guys are oblivious. You know, but ladies, I've heard a lot of, like, I can't believe they wore that. I mean, they should be ashamed of themselves or whatever. Or you know, not trying to pick on anyone, but, you know, a church like this, I mean, a lot of folks tend to be a little older. I mean, we're not used to, I mean, okay, maybe guys with earrings, but then you got nose rings and, you know, eyebrow rings and tattoos and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, maybe you're not used to hanging around. Now, when you're younger, you're kind of used to it more. All right, you know, but when you're older, you're like, and sometimes you don't mean, sometimes it's not like you don't love them. You don't mean to stare. You're just like, wow. I mean, you know, I mean, for instance, sometimes when I visit my son, you know, in prison, and my dad's like, there are a lot of people with tattoos here. I mean, you know, some of them have tattoos all over their hair, you know, their head and everything. And Blake's like, quit staring at those guys. I mean, you know. And, you know, he's not loving him. It's just like, you know, I understand sometimes people feel out of place because we look at him, and, you know, maybe it's not that we don't care. We just kind of look at him funny. You know, and then, you know, I've heard of churches where they're all happy until someone starts sitting in their seat. You know, they're like, well, but that's my seat. I've been sitting here for years. I mean, you can tell because there's no anointing over here. I mean, I'm joking. You know, this—that's my seat. But you know what? Jesus came to save the world. He came to be a light to the world, and he came to love the world, regardless of the world loved him back or not. You know, and that's the thing. We're here to love people, regardless of whether they love us back or not. You know, over in Galatians. Galatians, the fifth chapter, Ephesians chapter 5. Sometimes I mix those two up. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Let me get to my notes here. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, says this. I'm going to start out reading from the New King James. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You know, the Bible says we should be imitators of God, but then it talks about how do we be imitators of God? Because, you know, we didn't see God. All right, well, we're actually imitators of Christ. See, Christ was our example of how God really is. And, you know, this scripture talks about how Christ shows forth his love to the world. Reading from the New Living kind of tells us a little bit better. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything that you do. In everything you do. And the reason we can imitate God, because we saw his example through Christ. All right? Because you are his your children. You know, understand, if we're a child of God, we should imitate God. All right? It says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. And so we should be imitators of Christ. And the biggest thing we should imitate is Christ's love toward people. Not just toward the little children. It's easy to love little children. All right, I mean, kids are so cute. But sometimes as they get older, it's not as easy to love, you know, teenagers. Even your own sometimes. You know, the reason it's not hard to love them is that they do stupid stuff sometimes. But you know what? God loves us, you know, in spite of our stupid stuff that we do sometimes. And we should love other people in spite of their stupidness. All right? You know, sometimes what we need to do is get out the WWJD coffee mug that you had in the 90s, you know, and decide I'm gonna really do what Jesus said. And it's funny because whenever, you know, when those people have started having coffee mugs and little jewelry and bumper stickers and, you know, a lot of those folks really weren't doing what Jesus would do. They didn't act like Jesus act. You know, it's funny because there was one guy at a stoplight and he was all upset because a guy in front of him wasn't going, you know, and he had all the Christian bumper stickers. But he's acting like an idiot. You know, Jesus never acted like an idiot. I never read over in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where it says Jesus act like a complete idiot. It doesn't say that. All right. Now, here's the thing. I don't want to put anybody under condemnation. You know, there are some times that we miss it. All right. So don't beat yourself up, you know, when you don't always, you're not being a doer of God's word. But for the most part, you know, we should walk in love toward everybody. All right. Now, let's look at the commandments that Jesus gave us over in Matthew chapter 22. Jesus only gave us two commandments. Matthew chapter 22, starting with verse number 36, there was a young man who asked Jesus, he said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." And most people thought that would be the one that he would say is the greatest commandment, because that's what most, you know, I mean, if you can't love God, then well, I don't know why you're a Christian. All right, that's what I call the no duh commandment. You know, I've said it many times. I mean that's the reason that we're here, to love God. But I think what astonished the young man and a lot of other people is he says, and the second is like it. He said, "Love your neighbor as yourself, and on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So he says, you know, basically what Jesus was saying, if you can't do these two commands, it don't matter if you keep all the other laws, you know, that are out there. And then if, we don't have time to do it to read today, but if you read from 1 Corinthians 13, you know, it talks about, it says, no matter what you do, if you don't love, you're really worth nothing.
That's right.
And a lot of Christians, you know, think that they're great Christians and they're keeping all these so-called laws and they're not sharing forth the love of Jesus, and they're really worthless. I didn't say they're worthless, you know. Jesus said they're worthless. You know, and the interesting part about it, it says the second is like the first. And really, in essence, if you can't love people, you can't love God. Because you realize people are made in the image of God. But I think the most important point and something the Lord really showed me a number of years ago, and it said you should love your neighbor as yourself. And, we are living in a selfish generation. I mean, we're pretty selfish. And that's the thing I always say. If you love yourself a lot, you have to love your neighbor a lot. All right? But the point is there are a lot of people in today's society that don't love themselves. They're not happy with them. In fact, I was talking today after service. I had a lady came and talked to me, and she's a licensed professional counselor, a psychologist, or whatever, you know, or psychiatrist. I'm not sure which one, but you know, basically, She deals with a lot of people who don't like themselves. They don't love themselves. And she says, you know, Craig, it's really bad. I mean, you know, the amount of even young people today that are on antidepressants is huge. I mean, people don't love themselves. I know a young lady that was, you know, for whatever reason, she didn't really love the way she looked, and she felt, well, you know, if I have some plastic surgery, I'll love myself more. She got the plastic surgery, and, you know, I mean, so I thought she looked good before, I mean, she looks good after, but she still had the depression. She still didn't love herself. Because it didn't matter what you do on the outside, there's something on the inside. And so what happens is, because we don't love ourselves, we can't love anybody else. And I believe one of the things, if you have an issue with loving people, you need to look at yourself and see, do you love yourself? And if you don't love yourself, you need to understand that you're made in the image of God. And you need to start looking at yourself differently, because you know what? You know, I get it. You might not look on the outside like you like to look or whatever. I mean, there's ways to change that, you know, diet and exercise. And, you know, so I get that, you know, but I have a pretty good attitude about myself. Yeah, maybe, you know, do I need to lose some weight? Yeah. But you know what? I love myself.
Amen.
You know, in spite of my weight, in spite, you know, that yeah, you know, I need to maybe get in a little better shape. I need to, you know what? Those things are only on the outside, because I know what's on the inside.
Amen.
You know, and the thing is, if I can't love myself, I don't think I can love anybody else. And it's not that, you know, it's just that, so what we need to do is understand that people, hurting people say hurtful things. You know, and a lot of times people, you know, even sometimes, if you do love yourself, sometimes what happens is something happens in life and you start getting angry, and we take that out on other people. You know, what they call it, displaced anger, if you really want to know from a psychological standpoint. I mean, it happens a lot. You know, unfortunately, a lot of fathers, you know, they come home from work and, you know, things happen at work and they'll take it out on their wife and their kids, you know, because they're upset with, you know, I mean, you know, first of all, you know, things happen in life, all right? I mean, they happen. I mean, don't let it bother you. I mean, you know, and here's the other side about it. There are people that are not going to treat you good, you know, but that's not an excuse to be mean back.
That's right.
The Bible says is to treat others as we would want to be treated, not like we're treated. And there's many times that people don't treat you right. And now it's not just treating you right in person. Now it's online. There's a thing called online bullies that, but it's interesting part about it is, you know, I don't know how many so-called, you know, Christians, they get online and start having fights with each other. You know, to the point that they have to defriend each other or whatever. I mean, but why? I mean, how did that help the kingdom? It didn't help the kingdom. And in fact, I mean, you know, I've often said if I could have made it 49 years of life without being saved, I don't think I would ever be saved. You know, and it's not anything to do with any of you here. It's just I see so many Christians all over the world. I mean, most of the time, when you use the word Christian, most people think the word judgmental. You know, and actually, sometimes I get mad, you know, when sometimes I see some Facebook posts or whatever, I get mad because these people are making me look bad. Because not only a Christian, I'm a pastor, and so they're making me look bad. So sometimes if I go talk to someone, they're like, well, you're probably like one of these people. You know, and you know, they do it in politics. I mean, you know, just because you vote for somebody, you know, they're like, well, you're just like that person. That doesn't mean I'm like that person, you know. And you know, like I said, there are so many Christians that are so judgmental. But remember, Jesus did not come to judge the world. He came to save the world. And he said, you know, there's going to be people that don't accept my message, but I'm not there to condemn them. I'm there to love them anyhow.
That's right.
And Jesus gave us the greatest example when he ever hung on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them for they don't even know what they're doing. You know, and I don't know how many times in my own life I've actually uttered some of those same words. You know, they're being mean and rude, but you know, I make excuses for people all the time. You know, and here's the thing. I mean, you know what? You know, some of you guys here, you're older than I am. You know, it's interesting, you know, how there is a thought pattern. You know, as people get old, they get old and grumpy. You know, whether you're a guy, whether you're a girl, I mean, as you know, or a female or a male, I mean, people get, as I get older, I get nicer. Because, you know, I start thinking about, you know, because sometimes, I mean, I got to admit, you know, when I was younger, I was more uptight about some things. And then, but God's really worked with me. You know, why be so uptight? It doesn't really matter. In essence, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anybody says about me. It doesn't matter what anyone's, you know, I mean, if you're talking about, I mean, think about what people said about Jesus. And really, you know, the only person that people he said he really has an issue with was you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees and other people you see, you know, the religious people, all right? But really, in essence, Jesus never really talked bad about them. He continued to love them. You know, when they would ask him questions, he'd try to answer their questions. And sometimes their question, they didn't like his answer, but he would just tell them the way he thought. You know, the only time that we really ever see Jesus ever getting mad is he turned over the table of the money changers, you know. But it really didn't hurt him that bad. I'm sure they picked their stuff up and continued to sell it. You know, I mean, you know, he didn't, you know, he wasn't doing anything. You know, thank God we don't have this problem right now, or it didn't seem like, but at one point in time, it was popular for Christians to bomb abortion clinics. I mean, you know, I understand that you're not really happy people doing abortion. I get that. So what you should do is be praying for the doctor, praying for the people who come in. Don't be setting forth bombs. And you're no better than the guy who was just mailing bombs the other day. I mean, you know, I mean, that's not nice. I mean, I didn't ever read in my Bible where, you know, when Jesus didn't like the people, he sent them bombs. You know, I didn't read that. In fact, I read in my Bible, remember whenever they came to take Jesus into custody? Remember Peter pulled that sword out and chopped that guy's ear off? And Jesus, you know, rebuked Peter. Said, what are you doing? And he healed that man's ear. You know, but because, you know, ultimately, you know, that guy, he was just following orders anyway. He wasn't the one that gave the order. And plus, Jesus knew that you know, that it was just following prophecy. They can't help themselves. Sure. I mean, there's no reason to get mad at him, you know, and try to chop him up. That wasn't going to help anything. I mean, you know, probably the only thing that would help is that would just land Peter in jail. It would start his jail ministry or whatever. So, you know, the thing about it is, so many Christians, I see, we get mad at people all the time. You know, but you understand, we have two rules. Two. Love God and love people. Amen. All right, if you were to take a test, and I had, there was two questions on the test. All right, and you got one right and got the second one wrong, then you would score a 50. Do you realize a 50 is failing? All right, do you realize that there are a lot of Christians that are failing life? Because they, you know, and they'll tell you, I don't know how many guys say, well, Craig, I just have trouble with my love walk. Well, the reason you have trouble with your love walk is you're trying to love people in your own strength.
That's right.
And, you know, I get it. People are going to make you angry. People are going to do things that are irritating. And that's when we have to put our mind under. That's when we have to put on the mind of Christ. We have to think of what would Christ do? How would he react in this situation? You know, and a lot of times that you know, if you get in a situation where things start getting heated like that, best time to do is walk out of the room. Just leave until you get to a point, you know, where you can get civilized and think like Christ would think. You know, and people say, well, I try to love people, I just can't. Well, someone told me trying's lying. You don't have to try to do anything. See, and that's the problem with Christianity. People are trying to follow all the rules when Jesus said all we got to do is just love people.
Amen.
And if you love people, you follow all the rules. You know, and it's not hard to love people. You know, what he was really saying, if you can love yourself, and you can love everybody else too. You know, and like I said, it's a big thing. First of all, you got to love yourself. But if you love yourself, you have to have this. It's the same way that you love yourself to love everybody else the same way. And it should be easy for you as you get older and start having kids. I mean, you love your kids regardless. A lot of your kids have done stupid things, I guarantee you, because my kids have. But I love them in spite of it. You know, there's nothing that my kids could ever do that I wouldn't love them. You know, there's things that, you know, they've done that's disappointed me. I'm disappointed that my son's in prison right now. But I love my son. I'm proud of what, you know, the strides he's made since he's been there, and you know, and how he's turned his heart toward God. And I'm excited. I mean, I'm sad that it took that for him to turn toward God. But I'm excited about the future.
Amen.
All right, that's one thing too. You know, remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. He says, "Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward." I press forward. Amen. You know, and sometimes, I actually said this at the men's conference yesterday, sometimes we need to forget not just things that are behind, forget what we're going through right now. Because a lot of times what happens is we're going through a lot of stuff right now, and sometimes that's why we're uptight, that's why we're all mad, you know, but we need to cast those cares upon the Lord, like I said, 1 Peter 5:7. Yes. Let him care about those cares and understand our future is bright. I understand the best is yet to come. Yet to come means I haven't reached the best yet. But you know what? If I don't quit, I'm going to reach the best. You know, start looking to the future. You know what? It might not look good, but I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I'm going through. And so that's no excuse to not love people. Just because I'm going through a little bit of the fire or whatever. You know, and two, I mean, you know, right now, and I do want to encourage everyone to vote. Coming, you know, election's coming up on Tuesday. Everyone should vote. I don't care what whether you believe like I believe, but everyone should vote. But I'm so sick and tired of, you know, such bickering between Republicans, Democrats, and independents. I don't know what side they're on. They're independent, so whatever. But I mean, politically, there's so much bickering back and forth. I don't know. When I was younger, it seemed, and you know, a lot of you folks are older than I am. Some of you are younger than me. But I mean, you know, it seemed used to after the elections, everyone tried to work together until the next election. Then there's a little bit of fighting. Then everyone comes back together, works together. But now we just want to fight all the time. And, you know, fighting doesn't accomplish anything. Just like if we don't, you know, and surely there are more Christians, you know, out there in politics than we see. We should love one another. And fighting doesn't help anything. And just, you know, and some people say, well, yeah, but they're saying this about me. They're saying that. I don't care what they're saying about you. You know what? If you quit fanning the flames, it'll stop.
Amen.
You know, it doesn't matter what they say. Jesus was never concerned about what people were saying about him. Because he had a mission. He had a mission. And I found out, if you'll speak to people in love, you'll have an opportunity to speak to people. And maybe sometimes, you know, maybe in the future, be able to say some things that you know, give them what I call constructive criticism and not tearing them down. Because they'll listen because they know you actually love them. You care about them. I mean, you know, that's why, you know, a lot of times in your own children's lives, you know, you're able to talk with them because they understand that you love them. You're not trying to tell them what to do, but you love them. You're trying to lead them and guide them, you know, and I mean, it's not that hard. In fact, I think we miss it a lot, you know, in Acts 10:38 says this, and most of you probably can quote it, but I'm going to go ahead and turn there. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And remember, the same Spirit that was with Jesus is now on the inside of you. All right, and many of us, we look at the scripture, we think it's so awesome. You know, Jesus had power, and he went, and he healed people, and he set them free. But the first thing he did was he did good.
That's right.
And if Jesus wouldn't have done good, he wouldn't have had an opportunity to set people free, because people would have turned him off, before he could have ministered to them. A lot of times in life, I understand a lot of Christians don't mean to, but just by talking to people, you turn them off. They don't want to listen to what you have to say. And sometimes it's a preconceived notion, because other Christians have put things in their mind that they, I'm sad to say, Christians equals judgmental. So a lot of times, if you work a job and, get to meet someone, and as soon as it comes up that you're a Christian, all of a sudden, it kind of like puts a wall between you guys. And so sometimes, actually, in those situations, you have to work harder to love somebody, so that way they don't put you in the same box. But the thing is, see, I want to be in Jesus' box, not the box of other Christians. Which seems really weird to say, but it is true. I mean, I don't know how many Christians that are judgmental. Yeah, there's a lot of people I know that aren't living the lifestyle that I want to live. But, here's the other side about it. A lot of times we judge non-Christians, but why should, they don't have that same moral compass that you have. So why should we judge them? They don't have that. They're listening to the God of this world. All right, and many of you might have been just like him at one point in time in your life. The thing is that when we love people and show forth God's love to people, we have an opportunity to change people. They'll start listening, because, there's an old saying that says people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And, that is, we need to care. And it's not that, we have to try to care. We just should care. And like I said, we live in a world now where you can have these DNA tests. Anyone ever heard it on the radio? Or, 23andMe or whatever. You can go send your DNA to a company, and they'll send you back, and they'll tell you that you're so much Italian, you're so much this, you're so much that. And it's interesting, Carter, about it. The number one excuse I've heard among Christians and why people are not really nice to people is because, it's my Italian heritage. Or it's because I'm German, or because I'm Irish, or because I'm whatever, And the interesting part about it is, if any of you, and I will let you know, according to statistics, that these DNA tests are not 100% accurate, all right? But they probably, can give you a little bit. But, every I've had a lot of friends that have done these, and, they're part this, part that, part, in America, a lot of us, we're part of a lot of things. I'm not 100% about my heritage. I know that I have Irish. I know that I have American Indian. I'm just a mixed up person. I have all kinds of stuff or whatever. But the point is there's only 1%. There's only one thing that you're 100% is when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're 100% Christian.
Amen.
All right. 100% Christian. And people who are followers after Christ, who are imitators of Christ, we love each other.
Yes.
All right. So you can't use an excuse. I'm Irish. I'm German. I'm this, I'm that, I'm porcupine, whatever you are. So get away from me, because I'll stick you if you, kind of a joke, but it worked. When I said porcupine, I wasn't thinking about it. Then my mind worked very quickly. I started thinking about a porcupine. Nobody wants to touch me because I'm going to poke them. And maybe you need to quit being porcupine and start being like Jesus. Have you ever heard that statement is, you might be the only Jesus that people might ever see?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, we kind of think, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Especially in today's generation, we live in a generation now where we have more people who are atheists and agnostic than ever before. And a lot of it is because some of these young people have seen so many fake Christians.
Yeah.
That they don't know that God really exists anymore. And I believe more than ever that we're living in a day and age where you might really don't be the only Jesus any people ever see. You know, that, you know, they might see a lot of other Christians, but they don't see very many Jesus Christians. People that are like Jesus. You know, probably one of the biggest compliments have ever been given to me, and I didn't like it when I've heard it before, but I've heard many people have told me that, you know, and I still don't like it, that, you know, sometimes when I've been doing healing lines or prayer lines or whatever, and I've had this compliment 3 or 4 times, said, "You're the closest thing that I've ever seen to Jesus ministering to people." And it wasn't because of my anointing, it's because of my love. You know, but, you know, first of all, they never saw Jesus minister. But when they first, you know, first time I ever heard that, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking about life in general, and even at that time, actually, I was in the middle of a divorce, and I'm like, I'm not like Jesus, you know. You know, but you know, the thing about it is that we all have the love of God shed abroad in our heart. I mean, you realize we all have Jesus on the inside. If you're the Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of you, you have the capability to love everybody. You know, it's there. You just have to get rid of your mind and put on the mind of Christ. And then when you give him peace in your mind, it's love, joy, peace. You know, but a lot of times, you know, it's not that. A couple more scriptures I want to read. Over in Romans chapter. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 8 says this: "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there be any other commandment, they are all summed up in this, saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." See, if we love each other, we're going to fulfill all the laws. You don't have to try to keep the Ten Commandments or any other commandments because, you know, really, you know, we only had, you know, in life only the Ten Commandments made it, but there were a whole lot more commandments that the Jews followed. You know, and then they had the prophets who also gave other commands, you know, and that's what Jesus said. That said, on these two commandments, love the Lord and to love each other, hang everything. And if you love each other, then you fulfill everything, because if we love people, we don't kill them. All right, if we love people, we don't steal their stuff, we don't covet their stuff, we know. And, you know, I said, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. But we have to do, what we need to do, especially if you have trouble with your love walk, you need to do what Paul told Timothy. Remember, Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of him. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You realize that one of the things that God has given you is love, the ability to love. And that was the fulfillment of what Jesus came here. Jesus came to this earth to show God's love to the earth. And now us as Christians, it's our responsibility to continue to show God's love to the earth. And by, as people see us, then they see God. You know, and really, in order for us to go beyond the thought pattern of Christian equals judgment, then we have to show forth love. You know, and we have to love people in spite of their issues, in spite of their problems, in spite of what they do. It doesn't matter what anyone does to you. I mean, I've heard people say, "Well, but Craig, I mean, this and that." I'm like, so? Does it really matter? Now, here's again, I do want to say this because I don't want people to get upset. There are times we're going to miss it, all right? There are times that we're not going to walk in love when we should, all right? I mean, there's been times I've been in the middle of an argument, where I was, you know, this is usually between me and my wife, sometimes between me and my parents or whatever. I mean, you know, and all of a sudden I just stop and like, all right, forget about that. You know, it's not, you know, I got heated for no reason. You know, and I know Brother Hagin, you know, my grandfather, he said, you know, if you're quick to repent and quick to forgive, I mean, you know, God can work more in your life. So, you know, there's going to be times that we miss it. And if you miss it, you know, don't beat yourself up. Just go back to that person, you know. And sometimes, see, maybe they did something to you and it was their fault. You got in an argument, but you know what? Whenever you got in that argument, it became your fault as well. So then when you go back and apologize, say, you know what? I shouldn't have acted that way. I'm sorry. And I don't care what they say. Even if they don't forgive you, it doesn't matter. It's not up to them to forgive you. It's up to you to tell them. It's up to you to ask. You know, get it off your chest. You know, because sometimes we do make a mistake. But what, here's the thing is, in the world that I see, people make mistakes 80% of the time, you know, and they do it right 20% of the time, or it should be the opposite way around. Or 90% of the time you should be doing right. But you know what? You know, we should love one another. All right, I'm going to read from Romans, the 12th chapter. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And I'm going to just read a few scriptures here in number 9. Romans 12, 9 says this. And when I read it this way, it really hit home hard. It says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tight to what is good, love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. You know, don't just pretend we love, because it seems like in Christianity we put a lot of pretend stuff on. Well, I love you, brother. I mean, I've heard a lot of people have told people, well, I'm praying for you, but are you really praying for them? Or are you just saying you're praying for them because it's a Christian thing to do? You know, if you're going to tell someone you're going to pray for them, you better pray for them.
That's right.
You know, and don't just pretend to love people. Actually love them. You know, and I think a lot of people, I mean, they're trying to, you know, even if they try to love people, they're doing it in their own strength and they're just kind of pretending. It's kind of like, you know, I'm just doing the Christian thing. No, really love one another. You know, you have the capability. You know, remember, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength.
Hallelujah.
Jesus gives you the strength to love people, even when they seem like they're unlovable. Because there are people in this world that do seem unlovable. I get it. There are people that are rude, that are mean, that say mean things. You know what? But remember, Christ loved the unlovable. He also was able to reach a lot of people that most people never could reach. And it wasn't because he was Christ. I believe it was because he just showed love. He showed love. And we should show that same love. Don't just pretend to love people. Actually do it. I want to challenge you actually to love people. You know, and, you know, sometimes when we first start trying to really love people, sometimes, you know, we mess up. All right. But it's not in your own strength. You don't have to love them in your own strength. You love them in the strength of the Lord. You know, and we have to also remember, it says, I can do all things, not I will do all things. See, I can. You have the ability to do it, but you still have to do it.
Amen.
But understand, but Jesus will give you the strength to do it. All things means all things. It doesn't just, you know, so it means, you know, if I have trouble with my love walk, I can love people. It's not that hard to do. And I've heard people say, well, yeah, but I was brought up this way, brought up that. It doesn't matter how you were brought up. It doesn't matter that, maybe you lived in a home where your father wasn't nice to you or your mom wasn't nice to you. I don't care who wasn't nice to you. It doesn't really matter. The point about it is that you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. That Jesus is nice. All right? And you know, he wants to do nice things. And we can do it. And remember this, and we've read it before in this church. You know, over in Luke, whenever they ask him, well, who's my neighbor? Jesus gave the story of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritans and the Jews didn't like each other. I mean, the Samaritans, the Samaritan should have never loved that Jewish man enough to help him, but he did in spite of
He was trained not to like this person, but whenever he saw the person hurting, compassion came upon him. And that's what we need to understand. When people are lashing out, they're probably hurting. And instead of getting mad, let compassion come upon them. You know, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. You know, they must not love themselves. Like I said, I make a lot of excuses for a lot of people, and it makes my life a whole lot happier. And it does. I mean, you know, and any time that I've had the opportunity to get mad at people, I just don't. I know that there's been times, there was a time one day I was walking through the mall, and I saw someone who had said some things. You know, he doesn't know I know that he said some things, but he had said some things pretty rude and mean about me. And he didn't see me, so you know, he would have, if I wouldn't have went and talked to him, we would have never crossed paths. And so I just went up and gave him a big hug. You know, I think it kind of astonished him because you know, now he doesn't know that I know what they said, but I think it, you know, interesting part about it is that I know he also afterwards went back and talked to some of the same people and said, well, I was wrong. You know, I could have went to him and gave him a piece of my mind, but that wouldn't have helped out, you know, in a whole situation. You know, and really when I first saw him, my actual initial thought was not a nice thought. That's when the Bible says we have to cast down imaginations, cast down thoughts. Because my first thought wasn't nice. Then my second thought was, you know what, he'll never see me. So, I mean, I'm not even close to him, so I don't even have to go talk to the guy. But then you know, I'm like, you know what? It doesn't matter what he said. It doesn't matter what he's done. You know, I mean, I always kind of liked him anyway. So, you know, I had to, my inside, just forgive him for what he'd done and let him, you know, kind of basically by going there and giving him a hug, that he knew that I wasn't mad at him. Now, he doesn't still know to this day that I know what he said or but it doesn't really matter. You know, and I believe Jesus is probably put in that position a lot. You know, I'm sure he ministered to a lot of places and a lot of people there that were here to minister that he knew that one day we're going to, well, think about it. He had Judas every day with him. You know, I'm sure he knew at some point in time Judas was going to betray him, but you know what? He still loved him. Even up until that day, he still loved him. It doesn't matter. You know, maybe you know a few Judases around you, but you still love people. And by you loving people, people will know. In fact, I guess I didn't read that, so we'll leave this off of that scripture. I forgot to read that from John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35 says this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So by the way we act, people will know that we are Christians. You know, that we're imitators of Christ, that we're followers of Christ. Amen. Because so if we don't have love one for another, people will wonder, what are you? Are you really a Christian? You know, I mean, because that's what Christ would do. He loves one another. He told his disciples, you know, by you loving one another, people will know that you're my follower. And, you know, it's not that hard to love each other. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person here. And we thank you, Father, to help us show forth the love of Jesus Christ to everybody at all times. And we thank you the next time we have an opportunity to go one way or the other, we have an opportunity to be rude or to show forth love. Father God, we thank you that you'll check our heart and you'll help us to show forth your love, your compassion, your mercy, your forgiveness to a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without the saving knowledge of you. Or maybe someone's here that at one time walked with the Lord, but they turned their back and they went away. We thank you that they'll come home tonight. If you're here tonight, you say, Craig, I've never been saved, or or I need to rededicate my life to God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you before we leave. We want to make sure that you're in right standing with God tonight. Father God, I don't see any hands. We thank you if anyone is here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you for sending their laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, that they will come to the salvation knowledge. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go, if there's anyone here that needs healing in their body, come down here. We want to minister God's healing to you. So if you're here tonight and you need healing in your body, come down here. We want to minister to you. We want to make sure that you you're healed. Amen. Amen. I don't see anybody. Praise God. We're all healed. Amen. Amen.